Hector Minto, Senior Accessibility Evangelist at Microsoft. Wow.
Yeah, who makes up titles like that?
Can you tell me something about that?
It's just basically to build strength on accessibility internally and externally. So it's a subject matter expert role, essentially making sure that the wider tech industry is talking about accessibility.
Yeah, and that's what we need right now. And that's why I'm really happy to have you here.
Oh, pleasure. I've seen what you do for the last year and a half, actually. It's been fascinating to watch.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. We honestly have also been very impressed with the focus that Microsoft is putting into accessibility in the past few years. What were some of the key drivers?
It's a recognition that society is digitally transforming anyway. You know, so part of this is like, you know, we know that we can grow great culture around diversity and inclusion. So there's a real, you know, a lot of people who work for us love our mission around disability inclusion. But the other thing is that there's a recognition that people who were excluded from technology in the past will absolutely be included in the future. And we need to be good at this. You know, the tech industry at large needs to understand diversity, technical diversity, more so than it ever needed to before. And we're really laser focused on employment. You know, we think that people with disabilities need, you know, to be represented in the workplace, but employers need to know how to employ people with disabilities and to stop making it feel terrifying. You know, it shouldn't feel like a challenge to employ amazing disability talent in your organization.
Yeah. We're talking about it a little bit before too, like make it an advantage.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is an advantage. I mean, every time you learn how to engage with somebody in a new way, you're becoming a more rounded human being with more experience of life. So you know, there's a few things. We talk about four pillars within our team at Microsoft. We talk about having culture, leadership on disability inclusion. So you will often hear leaders at Microsoft talking about disability as a strength, accessibility as an absolute fundamental. Then we reflect on, you know, we don't get everything right internally at Microsoft. So we're constantly criticizing, you know, our own systems in terms of, is our workplace truly accessible? So to do that, we have to give voice to people with disabilities. Then it's product innovation. You know, our teams want to develop amazing tools that work for people with disabilities, but they've therefore got to get people with disabilities into those teams designing those products for themselves. And then there's AI and innovation. So we're really excited about the role that artificial intelligence is going to have to play. And actually, if you want to do something cool with AI right now, as you know, then actually disability, where technology is doing some of those senses for you, speech, hearing, vision, is a really cool place for anyone who's in AI to be working right now.
Yeah, definitely. And it's almost as if the visually impaired community is an early adapter of those tools that we're building with AI.
It was always this way, though. It's just the mainstream's kind of working it out, right? You know, it's like, you know, I if we look at some of the things we've done recently on cool blind tech, think of it like that. You know, these ideas had been in people's minds for years, ever since they knew that tech could do this. Yes. It's just finally they got the sponsorship and the permission to do it. And actually, it's also finally that the AI got good enough to do it, right? And that's the, you know, I think anyone looking at an AI product nowadays should not be looking at it as it is today. They should be looking at it in terms of just how much better is this going to be in 6 months, a year, 18 months time.
And that's the period that we can look at right now. It's 6 months, a year. It's not, you know, in 5 years. It's not like that anymore.
Oh, it's definitely quick now, right? I mean, so we're doing auto captioning on PowerPoint, you know, so every single meeting in the world that's using PowerPoint now, they can put live captions just using AI on every call. And I can honestly tell you 18 months ago, you had to be very careful with the audio. You had to kind of really tune your experience to make it good. Now, I just walk up to a Surface device, casually speak into it, and the captions are near perfect. And it was not that way 18 months ago. Then, just a few weeks ago, what I'm noticing is that the AI is reading all of our information across Microsoft. So people's names are correct, product names are correct. Yeah, and again, the AI just grows. I mean, that's the beauty of it. And I think you're going to learn a lot about that with Envision. You know, you're going to see, you know,
it's going like, to go better and better on its own. It's
Every 3 months, you're just going to notice the AI just delivering more. You know, your model will continue to grow. I mean, I guess that's what you're doing. You're capturing image data all the time to improve that experience. I guess one of the challenges is to go global with all of this, right? So, you know, we want it in all languages. We want it with all cultural references. The objects will be different in different countries. You know, we want all of that rich data to be part of it in a year's time. I mean, so you're going to be busy.
we're there and preparing. Yeah. And how does that, what does it look like in such a huge multinational, multi-department, giant company? How does that work, and how do you make sure that the quality is high?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about tech nowadays, I mean, if we think about some of the innovation on tech, you know, some of it doesn't get funded in year one, and some of it just sits as a small garage project for, you know, for a few years until it gets noticed. What I would just say about accessibility within a topic at Microsoft, you know, when we kind of hit refresh on accessibility a few years ago, you know, we noticed that lots of cool little projects were kicking off, you know, things like the reader, the dyslexia tools, things like the eye control within Windows 10 now. And so we were looking at, you know, cool projects, but in the 10s, 20s. At our last global hackathon, we had like almost 400 disability projects, you know, ongoing with teams working on them. But the topics had changed. So in the early days, very much stuff on vision. That was definitely kind of the thing that was trending, and physical disability, things like eye control. The latest, we had a load of hacks on mental health. So this accessibility conversation continues to evolve as well. But just in terms of going globally on that, what we try to do is let each country and each culture come to its own place. You know, we have a Microsoft value on disability inclusion, but in terms of the buy-in, we want the buy-in globally to be organic and real, as opposed to mandated. You know, you can't mandate inclusion. Yeah. You know, what you do is you model really well. You know, if you look at our CEO connections now, we have sign language on stage with Satya every meeting now. If you look at our Build conference that's going on now, you've got sign language on demand in the video stream. Yeah. These things, you know, we didn't have that last year. So what we allow each individual area to do is just iterate and improve itself each time with a guiding set of principles. What's amazing is we offer voluntary training on accessibility.
Yeah.
Like in our learning platform. And the numbers are huge. And we don't force anybody to take accessibility training apart from some product engineers, right? To apply, you know, to apply what they're doing with the right values and the right standards. But what we're now finding is that young in careers want to take their accessibility training because they just feel that it's in the heartbeat of Microsoft. It's, you know, it's expected of them to be digitally inclusive and to build technology that works for more people. So, the answer to your question about going global on it and a huge thing, when you set a mission statement like we have, you know, empower every person, every organization to achieve more, and then you model really well on disability, you know, you're deliberately showing you're being inclusive. I just think humans respond well to that anyway. You know, I think humans want to be inclusive. It's in our nature, typically, I think.
Yeah. Wow. And the hackathon that you just talked about, like, how do you choose which project will work for you? Which product, you know,
so we set themes sometimes. So as I say, we saw loads of mental health ones last week, but we kind of stoked that in you know, that innovation with some concepts. But actually, we typically let employees bring their ideas to us, you know, and especially employees with disabilities. So we invest a lot of time making sure that employees, colleagues with disabilities at Microsoft have a voice, yeah, and that we connect them through digital platforms. So if you're a blind colleague in India, you have access to a blind colleague in Peru through our digital community platforms. So you have really good, easy ways to connect with other people who have the same drive and same vision as you, and expectations as you. So when we create communities inside Microsoft, people come up with their own ideas. And it's always deep human passion for the topic that drives innovators. I mean, You know, it's impossible to look at all of the great assistive technology companies out there and not find the backstory very quickly. You know, somebody had a passion somewhere to do that. We just have 160,000 employees globally with great digital skills, right? You know, that were trying to get passionate about this topic.
Yeah, and you have all these people internally, but do you also take people from outside of the company and test and build? How does that work?
Yeah, so there's a few things there. So we do a lot of partnership with NGOs in terms of hacks and things, especially globally. You know, what we find is that our employees go and partner with you know, with different organizations, not just to raise their own. You know, what we find with the charity sector specifically is we want their digital skills to really improve. They've got to digitally transform themselves as organizations, and there's no better way to do that than to start hacking with them around some of their end user scenarios. So we spend a lot of time investing in the charitable sector and engaging with that. And obviously Microsoft employees do amazing work with charities globally. But after that, it's really about you know, finding the local initiative to get the innovation going is probably how I'd best describe it. You know, it doesn't need to be with a charity always. Sometimes it's just humans just getting together with shared ideas.
So it's really, I think, global and local.
Global and local. But we also have global programs that support local initiatives. So we have something called the AI for Accessibility Program. I don't know if you've seen this. So what we generally put a call out to everybody that says, look, if you've just got an amazing idea to empower people with disabilities on access to work, access to modern life, or to improve human communication, mm-hmm. then we have a program that you can apply to get the technology you need to deliver on that. And when we put these programs in place, what we find is that employees around the world look at that as an opportunity to kind of further their own skills or for them to illustrate what they're capable of in partnership with people around the world. So we're always on the lookout in the assistive technology world, particularly for great AI concepts to come and build on our platforms and also engage with our engineers who are experienced in building accessibility. You did mention the testing earlier. I just wanted to say we have a lot of automated tools for testing the accessibility of our products, mm-hmm. but we still truly believe that you have to actually have great external testers, you know, people with disabilities actually paid to do the testing on our products. So we still spend a lot of time maintaining those relationships with great testing organizations.
Yeah, I get that. It's really important to really see what is happening if you test real life.
Yeah.
And then out a little bit outside of Microsoft with your skills and how you see the future, how do you see the future of accessibility for everyone?
I really hope it's going to be led by major firms around the world, not just Microsoft. So I think I think the thing I'm most proud of we've achieved in the last few years is to get accessibility on the agenda of banks. Yeah, and government agencies, and even kind of people, things like brand agencies, you know, people who don't have any obligation to be accessible, but are just recognizing the business advantage. And then when we engage with mobile phone companies or, you know, some of these organizations, they have different digital skills to us. Yeah, they also have different innovation that they'd like to invest in. And now what we're starting to see is some really nice partnership between some of the biggest brands in the world on what they can do around creating digital experiences, digitally accessible experiences for people. So that's super exciting. I think when we get the world's major brands all to have disability and digital accessibility on their agenda, then the rest of society kind of follows, doesn't it? Yeah. So you always have amazing ideas coming from organically from the ground up, but what we want to see is lots more funding and lots more kind of deliberate investment in disability inclusion. Every company is a software company now, right? And you know, we're in COVID as we speak. Suddenly the whole world is panicking about this digital existence that we all are being forced into, right? And it's really highlighting to many organizations some of their pain points on disability inclusion and things. Yeah, so you know, certainly in some of the financial sector, certainly in some of the government agencies, you know, those physical buildings that they had, which were catering for people who were excluded from those other experiences, it's non-optional now, you know, at the moment. And they're learning so much about accessibility right now and engaging with us to have this conversation. So I guess my real hope is that, I have two general hopes that I always tell people, mm-hmm. is that major firms will just put disability on the agenda, and we're seeing it. It's happening. But the second thing is we really need assistive technology companies to engage with AI. Yeah, and you're doing a, you know, I've seen what you're doing, and this is exactly right. Yeah, is we cannot just continue to say that disability products did this. We can actually hope that they do a lot more nowadays. Yeah, and we need people with disabilities to be at the forefront of that testing and that new innovation with technology. So, you know, almost like a refresh of what's possible with assistive technology with a lens of artificial intelligence.
Yes. Beautifully put. Yes.
It's my job.
you already mentioned the love of what. So we had a lot of small companies listening in, also talking today. A lot of people that want to be part of this assistive technology community. Mm. What would you give them as advice? Like, what would you, want them to bring home?
So, I mean, I've spent 20 years working in assistive technology before I got to Microsoft. So I've done the hard yards, if I can put it like that, you know, and you know, I spent many a year having to kind of justify the cost of things for the disability market. Mm-hmm. And I would always encourage people to just be really transparent about the cost of sale of products in this field. Yeah, it is not easy to sell products to certainly to a market that's not well established in most countries. Yeah, but I think that through continued partnership with the companies who are putting disability on the agenda, that we can work to get the volume up and the cost down, and the training and the knowledge to be delivered in much more cost-effective ways in the future. You know, disability products should not be free. Okay, you know, they cost a lot of money, especially innovative products cost a lot of money. And I would always just say we shouldn't be afraid to say how much things cost, but we must be transparent about why they're expensive. And it's very rarely the componentry; it's very most often the education of the market and the cost of actually getting out there and meeting people who need the product. That's seriously expensive work. So I would always say, rather than justify it, don't hide it. You know, it's really important that you let people know that what you're doing at the moment is cutting edge. Going to cost some money, but by investing in this, you're actually making a difference for the world in the long run. I would encourage startups to get in touch with Microsoft. I mean, of course I would. You know, we want to listen to what you're doing. I would always say that you should be getting in touch with people locally. Mm-hmm. You know, meeting your local office. Some of my inbox is constantly full of Microsoft employees saying, why are you not focusing on this amazing Swedish idea? You know, or why are you not focusing on this amazing Polish idea? And I'm like, right, you help them. Yeah, go and learn and understand what it is they're doing. And then come back to me in 3 or 4 weeks' time once you've got your head around what you think this is and what you think we can do with them and who we can introduce them to give them exposure about what they're doing. So try and make local contacts with Microsoft as well as central contacts is something I would always do. You know, as we build muscle on accessibility and disability inclusion, I think it will be an open door for people to make links with Microsoft employees, because it's culturally something that we want to be doing, you know, and investing in and supporting.
And that's really beautiful to hear from you, because for me it doesn't feel like that, but that's because I see Microsoft as
I used to think the same. I promise you, I thought the same. You know, when I was people can look me up on what my background was, but essentially, you know, I never thought we could talk to people at Microsoft, really. You know, if people may not know, but we have a disability answer desk, a global disability answer desk. We support third party products through that disability answer desk. So if you're using a third party screen reader on a Microsoft platform, mm-hmm. we will freely support your use of that product. We want to support that because that's also our best listening on what's happening in the market. And had I known that when I was out there in the field struggling to get Windows to work with the eye trackers I was working with, oh my goodness, it would have made such a difference. But so no, absolutely. I would really encourage people to reach out. It's always best to start locally though, if you're trying to build relationships with us.
Yeah, even if it's for language, of course. And 20 years of experience, what was the biggest change that you have seen in those 20 years?
The internet. I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, cloud, you know, I have, That was definitely the moment where you suddenly realized, you know, you didn't need to be in the same room. I think people overlook just what massive impact that had in the world of disability. You know, the fact that documents are online, stored online, you don't have to transfer them from device to device. I mean, I will age myself here, but the first assistive technology I worked with had a vacuum pump. You know, right, exactly. I am that old, thank you. But you know, when I think of how we supported computer users out there with severe physical disabilities back in my past, I always remember some of my early Skype conversations with people with physical disabilities, and I wasn't having to go through the therapist anymore or the parent. Yeah, I was actually speaking directly to the end user. It made an enormous difference, and I would say, still to this day, we've got to up the digital skills of therapists and teachers and everyone working in the disability community to start to ensure that they're giving people that level of service. You know, we shouldn't be saying to people, you have to turn up to a building when you can do something digitally, especially if you can do something through an accessible platform. Back 20 years, I would definitely say the internet and cloud. I guess the next frontier is AI. You know, and I think it's obvious to everybody, yeah, that people with disabilities will be some of the earliest adopters of AI and give us the earliest experiences. But we need that voice. You know, it needs to be there in the AI.
Yeah, true. Wow. I am going to bring in a couple of questions, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Ming Chung, I absolutely love that Microsoft is also leading the way in making entertainment activities like gaming accessible, but
Okay.
other such accessible recreation activities can we expect?
Yeah, great point. So you're probably referring to some of the Xbox Adaptive Controller work for physical disability that's happened. We're seriously proud of that work and the team that did this, not just because they created a controller that was accessible to more people, but actually that the rest of the market is following now. So Logitech did some amazing work releasing some switches for the adaptive controller. You know, if you think about it, we created the hub, you know, and said, look, here's the basic adaptive controller that you can do so much with. But then when the rest of the industry then fell in and went, great, we want to support that project, you know, I think that's what we feel most proud of. But this is a really subtle point that you're picking up on. We used to think of disability aids as functional. You know, these are devices to replace function. Because of AI and things, you're actually starting to get people and cloud, you're starting to see us creating beautiful experiences. And actually, I think this is seriously important, you know, that we stop just making tools for people with disabilities, but we create experiences. Yeah. So if you look at Microsoft Soundscape, I don't know if people have seen this, but certainly your community should certainly take a look at it. It's a navigation system for people who are blind. It uses augmented reality audio. So as you're navigating, you get extra information fed into your earpieces. And I always say to people that turned the navigation experience from being purely functional, I need to get to the post office, to being, I'm going for a walk and I'm going to get to hear what's around me in my environment as I go. So that truly changed something from functional to beautiful or leisurely, right? And I think I definitely think we should be pushing on that a lot more. One other example we had recently was people painting with their eyes using eye control. Again, we always used to talk about people using it for speech or for computer access. But when you see people painting with their eyes, you just think, yeah, this is so much better because it's actually leisure time, you know. And this is the, yeah, great, great, great question. More and more, please. We, you know, more beautiful experiences.
Yeah, beautiful. Are you, this is coming from James, are you also working on standardization in accessibility in partnerships with other companies like Google and Apple that could make tools like screen readers much better?
Yeah, so it's, you know, we're in constant touch with you know, our colleagues across the tech industry. Some standards were made a few years back on Braille support, the standard HDMI. Hang on, not yeah, the stand not HDMI. What's the other? There's another HDI, an HDI standard around screen readers and things. You know, I never think we compete on accessibility, as in, you know, we share, but we shouldn't run away from the fact that accessibility should become a space where you want to show that you're investing and that you're actually delivering in competition against your against the industry. I resist a little bit from saying this shouldn't be competitive, because actually great competition drives great advances. That said, the standards agencies that work across the world should have accessibility on their agenda, right? You know, if you look at procurement as a good example. Okay, so by law, every public sector euro and pound in Europe needs to be spent accessibly. That's the law, but it's very rarely implemented, okay? And I think one of the things that we should be promoting together as a tech industry is you should buy because it's accessible. You should force us to show how accessible our products are as we deliver them. So I think our role as kind of the technology industry more widely is to empower regulators and empower people who write standards to write informed regulations and also police them to make sure that we're delivering accessibly. Just so you know, I mean, we are on first name terms friendships with most of the teams across Google and Apple and Facebook on this topic. So, you know, we definitely feel like we should be collaborating and sharing. I wouldn't be so naive as to say we don't always share exactly what we're investing in right now, yeah, because it's still, you know, we should be ambitious about about being competitive on accessibility.
Yeah,
that's probably not the official line, so if you know, it's nice knowing you if I if I go now. No, I mean, it's a
James.
We do things like we've open sourced our accessibility testing tools on GitHub because we want the community, not just our competitors, but the community to influence the path we're taking on things like accessibility testing. So maybe rather than sort of having a question about how are we communicating with our competitors, it's like how much are we contributing to open source on accessibility would be as useful a question.
Yes, beautiful. Now I have a student from Egypt, and we already talked a little bit about resources.
Mm.
So it's someone saying, I am just beginning to learn how to code and Microsoft is one of my dream companies. What online or offline resources should I start with?
Great.
That's also an interesting one, huh?
That's great. So MS Learn. Definitely get yourself over to MS Learn and don't dive too technical too quickly. I mean, there is so much there just in terms of computational thinking as opposed to coding that you should really be doing. We have some accessibility resources coming to MS Learn. So absolutely, you know, don't use the online resources that are available to you, but don't just focus on pure code. I will say that to people. It's like, you know, focus on some of the ethics of AI are just as important as how good your code is. You know, we don't just want people in the tech industry who are great at producing product. We want people with great moral ethics and actually great design values coming to Microsoft. So don't be shy about saying that you love accessibility when you apply for the job. You know, it's you know, we want people, and also for any amazing, you know, people out there with great technical skills who have disabilities, if you feel that you need to be able to talk about that during your application process, we have an email address, dcareers@microsoft.com. And we have a disability inclusion hiring site where we really do want you to get the most support as you come into work at Microsoft. So please don't hide disability as you come to work at Microsoft. We need your talent inside the firm, and we've got the systems there to make sure that you can find us.
It's really good to hear. I think a lot of people will be very happy to hear this. I think we have time for one more question. Rodan, I love working on Windows 10. What do you expect from Microsoft accessibility for the next 2 years using Windows 10?
We won't have to wait 2 years. We have an update coming in May, at the end of May, with some of the latest and greatest accessibility features landing. Some of you may have already seen it on the Insiders versions, but things like magnification will now have point-on-click read aloud, which is going to be amazing. I mean, we've been waiting a while for that. We've got some of the basics covered as well, like really visible text cursors are coming. That's a new one. We're constantly seeing new investments in the Edge browser. Mm-hmm. So either on the extensions or on the core reading capability, the immersive reader capability within Edge is going to have some new features coming very soon. I mean, these big dates in the calendar, though, we're moving away from that. you know, what we're seeing is that Office 365 updates every month and gets brand new accessibility features every month because of feedback that we're hearing. Windows updates every 6 months, and there will always be new accessibility features. We would encourage people with disabilities to make sure they try the insiders versions and get that feedback to us. You know, it is gold when, you know, especially when we're in the earliest development of what we're thinking about improving accessibility, that people give us their feedback as much as possible.
Thank you so much for that. One last question, because I see the Xbox controller. It was great. Could we see more hardware assistive tech coming from Microsoft?
Yeah, I hope so. What do you want? I mean, we're certainly seeing projects on this right now. You know, Microsoft makes hardware now, right? You know, we make great Surface devices. You know, there should be, there already is like a made for Surface set of products, but should we be seeing more assistive technology products kind of really offered up front to be kind of great with the Microsoft experience, you know, with the Surface experience? Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, you know, the more the merrier. So yeah, get in touch if you know, or let us know what you want. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, it doesn't always have to be, I think when you're a mainstream supplier like Microsoft is, you know, it will tend to be the volume things that people just want to be obviously finding. But I certainly think as we build, you know, enthusiasm around accessories for Surface, we'll start to see some more specialist things kind of appear.
Yeah. So share everything you have with Microsoft.
Get in touch. There was and you know, Surface is a great brand now, and that team really care about the accessibility of their hardware as much as just the Windows and the Office experience. So, you know, they, you know, that feedback on Surface is always appreciated.
Yeah. Wow. Hector, I want to thank you so much for your time, and it was very inspiring to hear from you.
And thanks for the invitation, and thank you for doing something on Global Accessibility Awareness Day. I mean, it's a thing, Global Accessibility Awareness Day. People do listen and they do see everything that's happening. So thanks for making the effort to turn up.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
Introducing Envision Glasses, the new AI-powered smart glasses by Envision, empowering the blind and visually impaired to be more independent. Available for pre-order now.